breaking news. Coronavirus on the Jason Rantz Show.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Jason Rantz Show. Moments ago, the president put out new guidance coming from the CDC concerning the use of masks. He now does recommend using a mask should you make the choice. But he's not saying medical masks like the N95. They still need to get those masks to hospitals. But if you're in a position where you have one of the reusable ones or you're able to make one yourself with plenty of guidance online, you're able to do so. And they're recommending that to cut down on the chances of contracting the coronavirus. You're listening to the Jason Rantz Show and What's Trending, brought to you by KeelMortgage.com. We go to the president's coronavirus task force now live. Here is Dr. Jerome Adams, Surgeon General.
Covering, they're wearing it to protect their neighbors from getting the coronavirus because, again, they could have asymptomatic spread. So, Mr. President, thank you very much for that. Appreciate the opportunity to update everybody.
Here again is the President.
Okay, John.
Mr. President, Dr. Fauci last night said that every state should have stay-at-home orders right now. Do you agree with that? Should every state in this country have the kind of stay-at-home orders that we now see in places like Washington?
I leave it up to the governors. The governors know what they're doing. They've been doing a great job. I guess we're close to 90% anyway. And states that we're talking about are not in jeopardy. No, I would leave it to the governors. I like that from the standpoint of governing, and I like that from the standpoint of even our Constitution. Please.
Mr. President, to address the shortage in the blood supply, the Food and Drug Administration announced yesterday.
Well, I heard a different voice. We'll get you later.
Going to the oil meeting previously, Is the U.S. willing to cut domestic oil production? What came out of the meeting? What was the consensus?
Well, a lot of things came out. It's a great industry. It's an important industry. It's a tremendous job-producing industry. And it's just vital. And it was also very interesting because they all were given the test before they came into the room. So you have the head of ExxonMobil. You have all these guys taking the test. And they all passed with flying colors. So that was good. They left happy in that respect, at least. There's just an overabundance of oil right now. Oil and gas, a tremendous overabundance. And it was caused, they were doing a great job. They were producing a lot of energy. But then you had the virus come along and it knocked another 35%, maybe 40% off of the market. So there's too much oil. There's a glut. And these are great companies and they'll figure it out. It's free market. We'll figure it out.
You spoke to President Putin. I mean, what's on the table here with
him? They were having a competition. We'll see how it all works out. I think it's going to work out very well. It's going to take a long time to get rid of that. There's massive excess amount of oil and gas. Massive. Like probably there's never been. So where that does work out well, I guess you could say, is for drivers. I think in certain locations it's down to 90 and 95 cents a gallon right now on the road. But we have a tremendous industry, a great industry, a tremendously important industry from the standpoint of jobs. And we're energy independent. We have to make sure we keep it that way. All right, please.
Mr. President, as I was saying, the Food and Drug Administration, to address the shortage of blood supply, announced yesterday it would ease the restrictions on certain donors, including gay men, who are now required to be abstinent for 3 months as opposed to 12 months to donate. Did you have a hand in that change?
No, I didn't know anything about that. That was done by the FDA, very capable people at the FDA.
Yes, Mr. President, both the government of Canada and 3M are pushing back on this DPA not to export N95 respirators.
Yeah.
3M says,
I don't blame them. They can push back if they want. We're not happy with 3M.
Yeah.
We're not happy. And the people that dealt with it directly are not at all happy with 3M. So we'll see whether or not we do. I heard what he had to say today. I don't know the gentleman, but we're not happy with 3M. Go ahead.
And where is Dr. Fauci?
I don't know. But every time you ask that question, whenever he's not here, you look, you say, where is he? And you'll say, is there a problem? No problem whatsoever. Every time he's not here, sometimes I'll ask him to come because that's the first question that you and a couple of others from the fake news establishment ask is, where's Dr. Fauci? We're doing great together.
Different subject, if I may ask.
We're covering a different subject today. Go ahead.
Different subject, if I may ask.
Go ahead, Jim.
Mr. President, you have said nobody could have seen this pandemic coming. But in fact, Secretary Azar at a biodefense summit in April 2019 said, of course, the thing that people ask, what keeps you most up at night in the biodefense world? Pandemic flu, of course. I think everyone in this room probably shares that concern. Your own Health and Human Services Secretary was aware that this had the potential of being a very big problem around the world, a pandemic of this nature. Who dropped the ball?
Well, I always knew that pandemics are one of the worst things could happen. There's been nothing like this since probably 1917. That was the big one in Europe. It started actually here and went to Europe, probably. I've heard about, I've heard about this for a long time, pandemics. You don't want pandemics. And I don't think he was talking about a specific pandemic. He was talking about the threat of a pandemic could happen, and it could happen. Most people thought it wouldn't, and most people didn't understand the severity of it. This is very severe. What's happened is very severe. But I'd let you answer that. I assume that he was talking about the concept of a pandemic.
Thank you, Mr. President. Absolutely. For 15 years now, this country has had a massive effort at the federal, state, and local level of preparedness for pandemic. Now, that largely has been, as I said in those remarks, about pandemic flu preparedness. We knew about SARS. We knew about MERS, which were earlier modifications or variants of the coronavirus. None of those achieved anything like what we're seeing today. But that's why for successive presidencies, including the leadership of President Trump, there has been a great focus on pandemic preparedness. In fact, it was just in November, I believe, that the president signed the Pandemic Flu Preparedness Executive Order that we have also updated the Pandemic Crisis Action Plan, which has been the playbook from which we've been working, the Pandemic Flu Plan, the action plan from which we have been working that coordinates the whole of government, whole of economy approach here. So we've all been very focused on pandemic preparedness. That's what we do. But this particular strain of pandemic, who would have known this particular strain?
But Secretary Azar, if you are preparing for a pandemic, if this government were preparing for a pandemic, why is it we don't have enough masks? Why is it we don't have enough medical equipment in this
country? Previous administrations gave us very little ammunition for the military and very little shelf space. Let me just tell you, you know it. You know the answer. The previous administration, the shelves were empty. The shelves were empty. So what you should do is speak to the people from the previous administration, Jim, and ask them that question. Because the shelves were empty. And you know what else? The military shelves were also empty. We had no ammunition, literally. And that was said by one of your favorite generals. We have no ammunition. Guess what? We had very little medical supply also. All right. We'll get you back, please.
What about that question?
Jim, I said we'll get you back. Please, go ahead.
So I wanted to ask about the DPA. So you said that there will be a ban on exporting of all, what does it cover? So masks, gloves, what else is included in that order? And are you concerned?
But if somebody ordered, if Italy, if Spain, who has big problems, these are countries with tremendous problems, France, if they ordered, if they have long-term orders and they're in there and they want to get certain things, I've let them go out in certain instances because I think it's only fair. They have problems that are proportionately or relatively bigger than our problems. So if they ordered something and they're waiting for, as an example, masks made here and going to Italy, I'm not going to be stopping that. I think it would be very unfair. And by the way, speaking about being fair and unfair, two very big cruise liners, as you know, I allowed them to dock today. We worked with the governor of Florida, as you know, Ron DeSantis, and we worked on it, and we had tremendous security, and we took the sick people, and we're working with them. We have doctors. We have great doctors, military doctors, and from a humane standpoint, not that we're in love with this. These are two massive ships, but we have to take care of people. We have to take care. We sent many back to Canada. The Canadians came and worked very closely with us, as did the UK. We had a lot of people from the UK, and we took care of the Americans. We took care of the sick. We had some people very sick. I think we had 3 to 4, maybe 5 people that had died on the boat. one of the boats, actually, and we had to take care of these people, so we could have let them float aimlessly into the ocean looking for port, as they've been doing for a long time, and I made the decision we had to take them in, and Homeland Security and a lot of other people did a great job, but we had to help people. These are people that were very, very sick. Some were dying. Some died.
Your staff today said that people in close proximity to you and the vice president will get a coronavirus test. I'm wondering, are you concerned that the people you've been hanging around with may have the virus?
No, I'm not concerned, no. I had a test yesterday.
But what's the reason for the order for people who meet with you or talk to you?
I heard from the oil executives. These are people, most of them had not had the test. And frankly, I think they left the room feeling good about a lot of things, but they felt good about the test. This was a test that took, 13 minutes to have it finalized. They took the test. I don't know. I didn't know they were doing that. Maybe they did it just for them. I don't know. But it seems that a lot of people, because now we have tests that really work well, Abbott. We have other tests being developed right now that are also fantastic. The original tests, the ones we inherited, Jim, as an example, they were broken. They were obsolete. They were not good tests, and that's what we got stuck with. We've developed some incredible tests, but this took 13 to 15 minutes, and they were all fine. Go ahead, finish your question.
The problem some people have raised is that if the U.S. stopped exporting, what you could have is other countries then deciding reciprocally that they are going to stop exporting, and that the result of that then will be a net decrease in the amount of supplies that American doctors, American hospitals have. How do you address that?
Well, I address it in the following manner. We really are very well supplied. We are not the principal. It's the hospitals, the states, the cities. They're supposed to get everything they can and stock up in case something like this happens. But nobody could ever have assumed that something like this happened. So we started supplying. We brought tremendous amounts to New York today and over the last few days. We brought them to Louisiana. We brought them to Michigan. We brought them to Los Angeles. A lot of equipment. You read the amount of masks that we had. I think I said over 8 million masks, the N95 masks, the, you know, more expensive, more complicated, better, whatever masks, the ones they want to use in the hospitals. We have millions of them now, and we've given them to a lot. We sent to Bellevue in New York today. That was for Mayor de Blasio, 200,000 of them. But we have 8.1 million. We're going to have more than that. And we're getting them from various sources, including the military. We're rapidly then replacing them because we have to replace them in case there's another emergency. I would be gowns, too. We have many gowns being delivered and have been delivered. Our people have done an incredible job. Most people have said now, and I said this yesterday, governors have said, thank you very much. Great job. If they're a Democrat governor, in some cases, not in all cases at all. If I said, here's 1,000 ventilators, how many do you want? We want 1,000. Here's 1,000. You got them. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to add another 5,000. Is that good? They said, wow, that's great. And then if Jim Acosta goes and says, are you happy with the president? No, he should have given us 10,000. That's what's happening. You know why? Because that's a standard political answer. And that's a shame because we have done a job like nobody's ever done a job. But we've just delivered a lot of masks. We've just delivered a lot of gowns and protective gear. But, you know, you're talking about a massive number. But as of this morning, people were very, very happy. Steve?
Did the oil executives ask you for a bailout?
No, they didn't ask for a bailout. No.
They asked for
It was really more of a discussion than asking. We did discuss the concept of tariffs because, as you know, this was a dispute among a couple of countries that I think they want to be able to get it solved. They had a dispute. They had a competition. But they want to get it resolved. Russia and Saudi Arabia, I think they want to get it resolved. I think they're working very hard. I mean, they told me they want to get it resolved. They're working very hard. Go ahead.
Thank you. Yesterday, Jared Kushner said the notion of the federal stockpile was it's supposed to be our stockpile. It's not supposed to be state stockpiles that they then use. What did he mean by our?
Oh, what are you asking?
And
I mean,
given the fact that taxpayers from
what's
every
that?
State
gotcha.
Pays
I gotcha.
For it.
No, use the word
gotcha.
Our, you know what our means? United States of America. That's what it means.
So
it means
the states.
Our. hour. It means the United States of America. And then we take that hour and we distribute it to the states.
So why did not you say that we it's have not to. Supposed to be state stockpiles that they
Because we need it for the government and we need it for the federal government. But
to
when the states are in trouble, no, to also keep...
To keep
for our country, because the federal government needs it too, not just the states. But out of that, we oftentimes choose, as an example, we have almost 10,000 ventilators and we are ready to rock with those ventilators. We're going to bring them to various areas of the country that need them. But when he says our, he's talking about our country. He's talking about the federal government. I mean, it's such a basic, simple question, and you try and make it sound so bad. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
No,
you know what? You ought to be ashamed.
It's
such a simple question. He said our, and our means for the country, and our means for the states because the states are a part of the country. Don't make it sound bad. Don't make it sound bad. Go ahead, Steve. Go ahead, back here. You just asked your question. You just asked your question in a very nasty tone. Let's go.
You didn't give me an answer.
Please.
Mr. President,
I gave you a perfect answer. You know it. Go ahead.
Well, just to follow up on that, when we have the federal stockpile, I mean, isn't that designed to be able to distribute to the states?
Sure, but it's also needed for the federal government. We have a federal stockpile and they have state stockpiles. And frankly, many of the states were totally unprepared for this. So we had to go into the federal stockpile. But we're not an ordering clerk. They have to have for themselves. Now, some of the states were in good shape. Some of the states were not in good shape. That's probably something you could expect. We have been helping states. We have been spending a tremendous amount of time, effort, and billions of dollars on making sure that they have what they have. I mean, take New York. We built them hospitals. I built them 4 hospitals, built them medical centers, sent a ship with 1,000 rooms and 12 operating rooms. And then on top of that, gave vast numbers of ventilators and vast numbers of surgical gowns, equipment, masks, everything else. Now, they had a chance to order ventilators over the years. They had a chance to order a very big, but they didn't choose to do it. We were there and we helped them. And I think the governor of New York is very thankful for the help that we gave. But we have a stockpile. It's a federal stockpile. We can use that for states or we can use it for ourselves. We do use it for the federal government. We have a very big federal government. Go ahead.
Have you decided not to use your powers to be essentially a traffic cop for all the essential medical supplies that are needed?
We're not a traffic cop. We're a humanitarian cop. We help. It's like the ships. Do you think we wanted to take 2 big ships into our country that have obvious problems, and you know the problems I'm talking about? So I have a decision to make. Do I take them in or do I save lives? Okay? Do I take them in or do I say, I decided to take them in. And we have tremendous protection. We have great doctors there to help the people. They had 4 or 5 people that died. That was as of last night. They died on the ships. We took care of it. And now the people are in the process of, and many are already back in Canada, they're back in the UK, United Kingdom. And many of them were American citizens. Some were very sick. We're taking care of the sick people. We're testing all of the others very, very carefully. Very, very carefully. They are being tested like you wouldn't believe. And we solve a humanitarian catastrophe. You know why? Because nobody else would take the ships. Nobody else would take them. So we docked them in, I think, Fort Lauderdale.
Why you don't say we're the federal government and there's a shortage of masks and other things and we're going to...
We do say that. We say we say and we use the act. Excuse me. We do say that and we use the act. And we've used it a number of times very powerfully. And a lot of times we don't have to use it because we say we're going to use it if you don't do this or that. And then we also have companies that act incredibly well. We have plenty of them, mostly them, but we've used the act very powerfully. And a lot of times you don't have to exercise the act. All you have to do is tell them, look, if you don't do this, we're going to use the act. And we've done a good job with it, maybe a great job. Yeah.
Mr. President, there are news reports that you want to sign the stimulus checks that are going out here in several months. Is that right? Do you want to sign those?
Me? I know. There's millions of checks. I'm going to sign them? No. It's a Trump administration initiative, but do I want to sign them? No. The people are getting their money. There's a lot of stimulus going in a lot of different ways. There's also stimulus going for companies that would, if it weren't for our government, would not, and some companies that were very strong a month ago. Again, we had the strongest economy in the world. We had our best ever. We had probably the best economy in the history of the world, bigger than China, bigger than anybody. And one day we have to say, close it up, stop. Everybody go home. And you know what? It's pretty tough to do that.
That's another thing, that there are rumors that these checks may not go out for another 4 months. Like, if you don't have
I don't know.
Right,
all I can tell you is the small business today is we're way ahead of schedule. There is a problem, where, and which I pointed out, I said you shouldn't do it this way, with unemployment. We're 40-year-old equipment by the states. We're sending the money to the states. Once the money is sent to the states, then the states, whether they're Republican or Democrat, have to get the money out to the people. Hopefully they will be able to do it. But many of those states have 40-year-old computers. I don't know that they're equipped. I wanted to give the money direct, if that's what you're talking about. I wanted to give the money out direct. It would have been much easier. But the Democrats and some people said, no, let's do it the complicated way.
I'm talking more about the stimulus checks.
All right, well, I was talking about both. Yeah, they will. Go ahead, please.
You're listening to live coverage of the coronavirus task force briefing with the president.
In the room, social distancing. First of all, and this is for yourself and Dr. Birx, what percentage of the population do we suspect to be asymptomatic at this point? Is there a way to figure that out? Seems like the antibody test might be able to assist in determining that number.
Yeah, thank you. So while we're working diligently in the midst of the crisis to make sure that the healthcare workers and everyone who is sick gets provided for, at the same time, we're working on tests and assays that will be critical for surveillance. And at the same time, working on plans for what we need to do as this moves through the population and we get on the downside, which we're not there yet. And hopefully most of the states will say, like California and Washington. And then what will you need to do to be prepared for fall? So all three of those things are happening simultaneously. And there's people working on each one of those work streams. The antibody piece is critical, as you described, because at this time, we can't, if we have, let's say, symptomatic status is inversely related to age. And so the younger you are, the more likely you are to be asymptomatic. We have to know that because we have to know how many people have actually become infected. So when we talked about 5 days ago, I think on Monday, I called on universities to work on an ELISA-based test to test for their health workers and really get through that. At the same time, the private sector is working on tests. And what do we want those tests to be? We want those tests to be like what we use for HIV and malaria. Finger prick onto a cassette, you get a line if you're positive, and you get a control line. Negative, the line isn't there, and there's the control line. That's our dream assay because it's a finger prick. In the meantime, we're not waiting. I mean, we're pushing for that. At the same time, we're asking to develop an assay, the ELISA-based assay, which requires a tube of blood. And that's why we're also talking about, could we use dried blood spots? We also put out a call directly out to the military because of the Roosevelt to really test all of the sailors on the Roosevelt with an antibody test to get to this critical issue of asymptomatic and already pre-existing antibody. That would be if the first responders knew they already had had it and they had protective antibody, if the nurses knew, the doctors knew, if your school teacher knew, then it's a very different dialogue. So we understand the importance of that, and we understand how important it is in relationship to understanding this epidemic. One other comment, because I know we're always saying who knew what when. I just want to make clear, there's 150-plus countries working on this collectively together. It's devastating for every single country. When we get through this, we can go back and look at what happened, where, and what does this epidemic look like. And when you get through it, then you can validate every model there is known to man. when you're in the middle of it, you have to concentrate on serving the needs of each American and what that need looks like. At the same time, you have these other work streams on surveillance and how to be prepared both scientifically and therapeutically and vaccine-wise for the next fall if that happens again. So I think these things are happening together, but I just want us to really concentrate on the fact that all around the globe, country after country is dealing with this. And we can talk about why didn't Italy do something or Spain do something or Germany do something, or we can really say right now, we all can do something. We can do the social distancing and all of the pieces that we know is starting to work around the globe in country after country. And then when we get through all of this, we can ask the questions about could we have done some piece of this better as a global community? I will remind you that on February 3rd, the head of the WHO said there was no reason to ever do a travel ban. You know, it wasn't until January 14th that we knew that there was human-to-human transmission.
The president was saying this was going to go away. It's April.
It is going to go away.
This president, you said it was going to go away in April. You said when it warmed up in April.
I said it's going away, and it is going away. Okay. That was a good answer to your question. No more. That was a long but a very good answer. That was enough for you.
Insurance coverage. Mr. President, on the insurance coverage for treatment, when your government is trying to make sure that people are covered on the treatment,
we're going
to
do that.
Does that include the 11 million people who are in this country illegally? Are they going to be covered as well?
We'll be talking about that at a different time. Yeah, please, go ahead.
Yes, Mr. President, will you authorize the release of the underlying data for the conclusion of the 100,000 to 240,000 people succumbing? Perhaps Dr. Birx can
talk. Well, that's up to Dr. Birx. You'll decide.
Some
disease experts have expressed concern that they haven't seen the underlying data. They're not
I'm sure they'll talk to you about that, and Dr. Fauci, too. Please, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is for you and Secretary Azar. 10 million people say they've lost their jobs in the past 2 weeks. So how is this stimulus money for free treatment going to absorb the new numbers of uninsured? And would it not be easier to reopen the Obamacare markets or expand Medicaid?
So for an individual who had employer insurance, that's what I mentioned in my remarks, if you were employed and had insurance through your employer and you've now lost your job and lost that insurance, you now do have a special enrollment period where you may enroll in the individual exchanges of the Affordable Care Act. So that's existing law. Then what we're doing is taking from that $100 billion to providers, taking money and saying, if you're a provider and you care for anybody who's uninsured, we're going to compensate you for doing that. And we're going to compensate you at the Medicare reimbursement rates. And you are not allowed to bill that uninsured individual anything. So in many respects, it's better for those uninsured individuals. They're going to get first dollar coverage. They're going to get care in the United States. And the provider is going to be made whole from this program. So it's really an unprecedented. What President Trump is doing here with this money is an unprecedented disease-specific support of care for individuals to make sure that people get treatment.
Will someone still be billed if they test negative, or what about non-COVID conditions?
I have a couple questions about supplies, one specifically on New York and the question of ventilators. Governor Cuomo is saying that New York may be days away from running out of ventilators. Can you assure New York that going into next week that they're going to have the ventilators that they're going to need?
No, they should have had more ventilators at the time. They should have had more ventilators. They were totally underserviced. We're doing our best for New York. You know, we have a lot of states. We have territories, too. But we have a lot of states that have to be taken care of, some much more so than others. We've worked very well with the governor. We happen to think that he's well served with ventilators. We're going to find out. But we have other states to take care of. We have a big problem in Louisiana. We have a big problem in Michigan. We have a big problem in seven other really strong hotspots, but we're doing the best we can. I wish they did the original orders 3 years ago. They would have had all the ventilators they needed, although even then they wouldn't, because if you look at what the original request was from New York, it was far greater than anybody ever heard.
And we've supplied a lot. I told you, we supplied some just today to New York, and we supplied some yesterday to New York City. Did you have one in the back? Yeah, please.
If I could say, this is why the question of the stockpile was asked earlier is so important.
I don't think that was the question.
No, it was a very important question, because what Jared Kushner said yesterday is that the federal stockpile is for use by the federal government, not for the states to have access to. So you seem to be saying different. So did Jared Kushner misspeak yesterday?
No, he didn't.
That federal stockpile.
He used the word our. Okay, our. Our is referring to our country. The states, to the best of my knowledge and to the best of your knowledge, are a part of our country. We are taking what is in the federal stockpile, and we are helping states all over the country. But we also want to keep some, because when that surge comes, when you hit those peaks, we're going to need, we have to be able to have the flexibility to take those ventilators and bring them to Louisiana, New York, Detroit, different places. That's all.
You will be using them for the states.
Oh, of course. We're not using them anywhere else. Okay. We're not going to be using them, John, anywhere else. But we want the flexibility, because, you know, we don't even know when the surge is coming, but it's coming soon and it's going to be big. And some areas won't have it. Some areas will be pleasantly surprised, just like we've been. You look at the chart. States that I thought would have been maybe a disaster turned out to be really, they've done a great job. Some states are really trouble. But you don't know. You don't know. We have great flexibility. I would have preferred giving them all out. We'd have nothing. And now when we have a surge, we can't get them back from where we gave them, because it's very tough to take them back. So we have tremendous flexibility. And it could be New York. It could be Louisiana. Those are two that are really rough. New Jersey is very rough. And they've done a very good job in New Jersey, but New Jersey is very rough. Go ahead, please, Nabil.
Yes, the question is about the CDC guidelines. I know that they changed over time from February. And
the guidelines relative to which? The masks?
For instance, social distancing and the number of people who can gather in a group and so on. And now we have this measure about wearing masks. And I know you told Steve about why you don't want to wear a mask, but I'm just wondering if you can tell us more about why, because it would
set
an example.
They're not mandatory guidelines. They're guidelines. They suggest you could wear them. You don't have to wear them. In fact, the director is here. If you want to say a couple of words about it, you can. If you want, you don't have to.
In your decision,
but basically, it's a voluntary thing. State director, doing a good job.
Live coverage of
Thank
the press
you very
briefing.
Much. I think I just want to reemphasize, I've said this before, that we're not defenseless against this virus. We have a powerful tool, a powerful weapon, that is social distancing. And we've continued to embrace that with the president's initiative to slow the spread of coronavirus. We're constantly looking at new data. And as the Surgeon General said, one of the new information that became more clear to all of us is there's a greater number of people that are asymptomatically infected than we previously thought. And as Ambassador Burke said, that may be inversely related to age. And so really the purpose here is first and foremost to embrace the social distancing. That's the number one thing. That's the powerful weapon. And, you know, this virus has a great weakness. It can't jump from one person to another if it's got to swim more than 6 feet. And this is why we really want that. That said, we now know that there may be individuals in areas of significant community transmission that may be asymptomatically infected. And we know that a face barrier can actually interrupt the number of virus particles that can go from one person to the other. So as was said by the Vice President, the purpose of this face covering is to be another adjunctive mitigation strategy to protect someone from spreading the virus from themselves to someone else.
And I was just tested also, so I assume I don't have the virus, so I don't have to worry about spreading it. Okay? Please, go ahead.
Mr. President, I want to make sure we're clear. When you mentioned tariffs earlier that came up in the meeting, are you considering tariffs on Saudi Arabian oil?
And well, then I can also always consider. Look, tariffs have made a tremendous amount of money for our country. I put them on China. I put them on other places. And other countries tariff us, and they take advantage of us, and they have for many years. Look, countries have taken advantage of the United States for years. They've ripped us off like nobody can even believe, whether it be on manufacturing, whether it be on exporting, whether it be on almost anything, including military, where we provide virtually free military assistance to countries that, frankly, take advantage of us, don't even like us, okay? So this has been going on for years. They tariff us, They create artificial, you could say, non-financial barriers, which are worse than financial barriers. You can't sell your product. You can't take care of our farmers. They won't take our, and yet they'll take us and sell into us. And we won't charge them anything for doing it. Look, they've taken advantage of us for years. Tariffs are a way of evening the score. Tariffs are a way of just neutralizing. They have tariffs on us, and we now can put tariffs on them. Am I using it for oil? It's something we can. No. Am I doing it now? No. Am I thinking about imposing it as of this moment? No. But if we're not treated fairly, it's certainly a tool in the toolbox.
And what about with Russia? Are you, would you consider maybe lifting sanctions or giving some sanctions relief?
Well, it would be the same thing. No, it would be the same thing. They are having a dispute, the two countries, and it's hurting the rest of the world because it's really hurting the energy industry. Russia is being hurt unbelievably badly, and Saudi Arabia is being hurt unbelievably badly. Because oil and gas is a primary, that's where they get most of their income. And this is a price like from the 1950s, all right? It's a price from the 1950s. They are being hurt very badly. I think they're going to settle their dispute pretty quickly.
Why, on the oil, why do you think,
Mr. President,
raise the price? Why do you think you haven't been more successful in getting them to increase production in Russia and Saudi Arabia?
Well, they have increased production. That's what they've done. They've increased it so much that there's... So you meant the opposite.
Why do you think you haven't been successful?
Well, they're going to stop because the market... Ultimately, the market is going to get them to stop. But they both did the opposite. They increased production to a level that water is right now more valuable than oil. Who would have ever thought, right? You go to some of these kingdoms, water is far more valuable than oil. There's so much oil. It's a tribute in a way. But what happened is there was a lot to start off with, and then you had the virus, and it knocked the hell out of the market in terms of demand. So there's no demand, and there's tremendous supply. So, I mean, you saw numbers where it was down to 20 and down, frankly, below 20. It was even below 20. It's an incredible thing, the market, but ultimately the marketplace will take care of it. But I think they're going to work out their problem fairly quickly. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. We're already talking about phase four of a stimulus, right? But you and Pelosi and McConnell are already talking about different things that should be in it. Now, last time people were telling me that the fact that you wouldn't talk to Pelosi was an impediment and it really slowed things down.
Are
you
If it were important to talk to her, I'd talk to her. If it were important for the American people, I'd talk to her. But other than that, I can have other people talking to her. Look, are you ready? Infrastructure is a great thing for me. I think infrastructure for this country, we have an old broken infrastructure. 50 years ago, we were the envy of the world. And then we spent all this money so stupidly in the Middle East. We spent, it's going to be very close to $8 trillion in the Middle East. How stupid was that decision? But they spent it on that and other things. We've got to fix our infrastructure. That means roads, highways, tunnels, airports, everything. We got to fix our infrastructure. And the beauty is because of the fact that we are so strong as a country, we're borrowing at zero. We never had a chance to borrow at zero. Even this country, we never had a chance to borrow at zero. We're going to borrow. This is a great time. So we can fix our infrastructure and we'll have almost no interest cost. This is the time to do it. Steve, one more question.
The death toll projection that you shared with us earlier this week, are we still on the current trajectory for that or have social...
Which one? I have many trajectories for many things.
100 to 240,000. Are we still on that trajectory or have we made any improvements or maybe not enough time?
Say it, Steve.
Have we made enough improvements?
On what?
On social distancing.
On the model. I'd have to ask Dr. Fauci and I'd have to ask Deborah. Have the models changed?
So a lot of the projections you can see are based on, there's many different ways to look at this. And as we discussed on Sunday, some of it is based on the current global experience. We're about, I think, 6.5 or 5.5 times the size of Italy, a different factor in Spain. And we look at all of those, what their projections are, where they are currently, and where that is going. And so a lot of the work is based on how this virus has moved through other populations. That's a very direct way to see how the virus is impacting a population. There's also terrific models. And so every day and every night, one of the models that actually looks at the model related to mortality is the healthdata.org data. And they update it every night, and you can see where we are in that projection. I think in the last run of that model, they were at 93,000 or something in the model. Now, all of that can be changed by our behaviors. And so, and all of it can be changed in a different way if we don't follow those behaviors. If another major metropolitan area ends up having an epidemic like the New York metro area, that could dramatically change not the model, but the reality of the impact of this virus on Americans.
By the way, the model show hundreds of thousands of people are going to die. You know what I want to do? I want to come way under the model. The professionals did the models. I was never involved in a model, but at least this kind of a model. But you know what? Hundreds of thousands of people, they say they're dead. I want much less than that. I want none, but it's too late for that. But I want very few people relative to what the models are saying. Those are projections. I hope they're wrong. I hope we're going to be under those projections.
Two questions on continuity of government.
How can you always have two? Why can't you have one?
Well, they're related.
Every time. I have three questions. I have two questions. Can you give me one instead? Because you have a couple of other people. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll go with my second one. The governor of Wisconsin is now talking about delaying the primary, at least not having in-person voting. So my question is, and I asked this a couple weeks ago, I want to see if you've made any progress on this. Looking ahead to the fall, are you taking steps to ensure that the general election will happen even if this pandemic has reemerged or hasn't gone away?
The general election will happen on November 3rd. In Wisconsin, what happened is I, through social media, put out a very strong endorsement of a Republican conservative judge who's an excellent, brilliant judge. He's a justice. And I hear what happened is his poll numbers went through the roof. And because of that, I think they delayed the election.
Concerned about people going to in-person voting?
I don't know. Why didn't he do it before? He's doing it right before the election.
But do you think
why did he do this 2 weeks ago? All of a sudden, all of a sudden an election, which is taking place very soon, gets delayed. Now, I just endorsed him today, and it was a very strong endorsement. His polls, he's gone very high up. And all of a sudden, the governor comes out, the Democrat governor, by the way, comes out and says, oh, we're going to move this election. So I don't know. I hope you're right.
Do you think every state in this country should be prepared for mail-in voting?
No, because I think a lot of people cheat with mail-in voting. I think people should vote with ID, voter ID. I think voter ID is very important. And the reason they don't want voter ID is because they intend to cheat. When you get something, when you buy something, you look at your cards and credit cards and different cards. You have your picture on many of them, not all of them, but on many of them. You should have a picture on your for voting. It should be called voter ID. They should have that. And it shouldn't be it shouldn't be mail-in voting. It should be you go to a booth and you proudly display yourself. You don't send it in the mail where people pick up all sorts of bad things can happen by the time they sign that, if they sign that, by the time it gets in and is tabulated. No, it shouldn't be mailed in. You should vote at the booth, and you should have voter ID. Because when you have voter ID, that's the real deal. Thank you very much. We'll see you tomorrow.
That was President Donald Trump live at the coronavirus press briefing. At times, way more combative than we've seen in the past. The big takeaway from today's press briefing was that there is now voluntary guidance concerning the use of masks. What the president doesn't want you to do is go out and try to find the N95 masks. That's not what he's talking about. In fact, he made a very clear point earlier that this was about the voluntary use of masks, including the masks that you can make yourself.
But those guidelines are still the best and the safest way to avoid the infection. So with the masks, it's going to be really a voluntary thing. You can do it. You don't have to do it. I'm choosing not to do it, but some people may want to do it, and that's okay. it may be good. Probably will. They're making a recommendation. It's only a recommendation. It's voluntary.
Now, despite that, lots of nasty, disingenuous questions coming from members of the media, including CBS TV and, of course, Jim Acosta from CNN. We're going to get into some of that a little bit later on. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to dive into the day's news, how the extended stay-at-home order here in Washington State is already impacting folks all across the region. You're listening to The Jason Rant Show. Welcome back to The Jason Rant Show. We are live on this Friday afternoon. I haven't seen a 3 p.m. hour in about a week and a half. The president ended his press briefing a little bit earlier than he has in the past, but I suppose it is a Friday. Maybe they're looking to get done for the day. And then, oh no, it's a coronavirus crisis that's impacting the entire country. They're not resting. And yet when you listen to the way that the media decided to cover everything that we've heard from the president this week and his administration, including, by the way, the experts, in which they're telling us over and over and over again, we should listen to the experts, listen to the doctors. And yet when the doctors say things that the media doesn't like, what ends up happening is they don't listen and they report their own so-called facts. Jim Acosta from CNN, I'm purposely not going to replay, mostly because I just can't stand him. He is so incredibly smug. He is only interested in pursuing his own narrative, something he already believes, that President Trump drop the ball. The question he asked of President Trump, and I wrote this out in a tweet because it just stuck with me. Who dropped the ball? He asked the president. He didn't ask, did someone drop the ball? Because Jim Acosta and CNN believes that the president dropped the ball, that this administration dropped the ball in addressing this tsunami of coronavirus cases that we're now experiencing. That is simply wrong. It is simply false. You can take a position that the things the president did was not enough. Okay. But they want us to believe that we saw this coming for months and we did absolutely nothing. In fact, Jim Acosta tried to point to a comment made by Alex Azar, health secretary, last April to blame specifically for the coronavirus. But Dr. Deborah Birx came up there. And it was a little bit later on in the press briefing to point out that no. If you want to pretend that we knew things way ahead of schedule, you need to rethink some of what the WHO said, some of what China said.
I will remind you that on February 3rd, the head of the WHO said there was no reason to ever do a travel ban. You know, it wasn't until January 14th. That we knew that there was human-to-human transmission.
And yet CNN and other anchors over on MSNBC and writers within the New York Times and the Washington Post, they want you to believe that we knew all of this was happening back in December. That is an abject lie. And the same people who every single day remind us of the importance of listening to Dr. Anthony Fauci, on January 21st, he was out there saying this was not a significant issue that we would have to worry about here in the United States. Now, were they wrong? Yes. Were they lying? No. Were they unprepared? No. The reason why they gave the guidance when they gave the guidance was because China was not being truthful about the coronavirus. China was not delivering to us accurate data. China was pretending that what is happening right now and what ended up happening in China wasn't happening at all. People who want to pretend that this president knew any of what we know right now, back in December or even early January, they are flatly lying to you. They are flatly lying to you. And then yesterday, Jared Kushner comes out there because he's part of one part of the coronavirus task force. They really don't like Jared Kushner in the media. They really, really hate him. And yesterday he made a point to talk about how the federal government having access to masks is a little bit different than individual states having them, mostly because the federal government needs to be able to dole them out to the states as it comes up, using specifically federal guidance. CBS News White House correspondent Weijia Jiang was pushing a flatly dishonest question, and it was arguably the most combative that we've seen between the press and the president up until this point, including, just by the way, how rude the CBS reporter was.
Thank you. Yesterday, Jared Kushner said the notion of the federal stockpile was it's supposed to be our stockpile. It's not supposed to be state stockpiles that they then use. What did he mean by our?
Oh, what are you asking?
And I mean, even the fact that taxpayers from
what's
every
that?
State
gotcha.
Pays
I gotcha.
For it.
No, use sorry, the word gotcha. Our, you know what our means? United States of America. That's what it means. It means
the states.
Our. It means the United States of America. And then we take that our and we distribute it to the states.
So why did not you say it's have not to supposed to be state stockpiles that they
because we need it for the government and we need it for the federal government. But when the states are in charge, no, to
then
also keep
giving it to if it's not to the states.
To keep for our country, because the federal government needs it too, not just the states. But out of that, we oftentimes choose, as an example, we have almost 10,000 ventilators and we are ready to rock with those ventilators. We're going to bring them to various areas of the country that need them. But when he says our, he's talking about our country. He's talking about the federal government. I mean, it's such a basic, simple question, and you try and make it sound so bad.
Yep.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
No,
you know what? You ought to be ashamed.
Way, Secretary
it's such Azar. A simple question. He said our. An hour means for the country. An hour means for the states because the states are a part of the country. Don't make it sound bad. Don't make it sound bad. Go ahead, Steve. Go ahead, back here. You just asked your question. You just asked your question in a very nasty tone.
Let's be clear. If that was a Fox News reporter talking to Obama the way that she just talked to President Trump, not only would the media overwhelmingly condemn that reporter, not only would Brian Stelter do an entire hour's worth of content on his crappy weekend show, but they would, at the worst, call it racist. But because they're doing it against Donald Trump, it's perceived as passionate. She's just trying to get the truth from this dishonest president. It is absolutely absurd. And you know what? I'm getting sick and tired of the way the media is actively trying to drag people apart. You can disagree with everything coming from the president. I don't care. But we are at a point where we need to be united. We need some kind of unity in this country as we're fighting this disease that is going to kill thousands of people. It has already killed thousands of people. And maybe for just one moment from one press briefing, I wish we can get just some honest questions, not gotcha questions, not disingenuously phrased questions, not questions that you're only asking so you can include his answer in a hit piece that you've already written. Just some straightforward questions, because a lot of people have them. Right now, there are people in this country, in this state, trying to figure out what exactly they're going to do for a paycheck. Since we're now in a stay-at-home order here in Washington until May 4th, there are people trying to figure out what they're going to do with their kids. They're trying to figure out whether or not their kids are even going to go back to school this year and all the problems that that causes. And you've got media members who are more interested in getting some camera time so they can have a video go viral on Twitter. Well, you know what? Good for her. Good for the CBS News reporter, because you know what? I put the video up on Twitter. Let's see that go viral. Let's see people call her out for what she is, which is a patently dishonest reporter. And this kind of stuff, every single day, getting hit on the head with it, it's making me upset. You saw today the president a lot more punchy than he normally is. He was 100% right to be. You're listening to The Jason Rant Show. We still got a lot to get to on the remaining 2 hours of the show. We're going to talk with Tiffany Teasdale from Linwood Gun. She's saying in Washington State, yeah, I'm not closing down my gun shop at all. Plus, we're going to talk to two businesses and two different industries trying to stay afloat during this coronavirus crisis. We're going to get to that and so much more. Don't forget, follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/JasonRants, JasonRantz. We're back right after this.